You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Erland. Here are today's topics. Liverpool survivor Virgil van Dijk red card and come back to beat Newcastle 2-1 thanks to heroic Darwin Nunez brace. Arsenal drop early season points in a wet and wild 2-2 draw against Fulham. Manchester United come from two goals behind to defeat Nottingham Forest 3-2 after what Erik ten Hag called a horrid start. And Rodri rescues Manchester City with a late winner in a 2-1 victory at Sheffield United. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
OK, my friend, I think there's only one place to start. The big game at the weekend, St James's Park. Newcastle hosting Liverpool. Liverpool with a good set of results recently against Newcastle. A Newcastle team that weren't at their best against Manchester City, but Eddie Howe before the game said, we fully commit and that's when we're at our best. We had a fully committed game, plenty of incident. I think we almost should get to the incident first, yeah, and then we probably can talk maybe the generality of the game. But let's start with the first big incident that happened. I think it was 6th and 7th minute. It was a yellow card for Trent for time wasting, which we know now is
throwing the ball away.
Yeah, which is one of the new directives, isn't it, in terms of the time wasting, the whole piece. That now you're going to get a yellow card.
Yeah.
Which I think we both understand it. It's a bit harsh. I don't particularly like it. I think, you know, tell him first, but yes, a yellow.
I don't like anyway. Though. It's so strict. Right?
Well, yeah.
I think some people, Liverpool fans out there, were like, well, hang on a minute, he did get fouled. He got pushed.
Yeah, he got pushed, yeah.
So that's a fair argument. I think maybe, you know.
Yeah. It could have just had a warning to the referee as a foul and say, look, don't throw the ball away.
He did get a yellow card.
Yeah. A minute later, Anthony Gordon picks up the ball in a deep line position. I thought Anthony Gordon played particularly well. We'll mention him a little later. But he runs on the outside of Trent. He's running down the byline, just near, strangely enough, where the two benches are. And Trent leans out a hand, and there's definitely contact, and Gordon goes down. He can't continue to run on his counter-attack. And Trent got a warning for the referee on this one. Now, I know there's a number of people, I believe, including yourself, that felt it was should have been a second yellow card.
I do because, and I know we differ on this, I do because, and I know what you're going to say, there wasn't a ton of contact and he went down a little bit easy, right? The referee said it was a foul. I think we all agree on that, right?
So if it's a foul, and
Trent's nowhere near the ball, it's obviously a tactical foul. It's a professional foul. It's the yellow card is for unsporting behaviour. When you do something like that, he's restricting a Newcastle player. Yeah. If we all agree, some maybe don't agree that it was a foul, but if it was a foul, he's nowhere near the ball. So that's why I'm like, that's kind of a yellow card. And maybe because he's on one yellow, and maybe the second yellow's got to have more value. I don't know what it is, but I thought Trent was very, very lucky to get away with that with a second yellow.
I'm still uncomfortable in saying that. I think you can give a foul, but I don't think you have to give a yellow
agreed.
Card.
Agreed.
Yeah, agreed.
But what about the type of foul it was, Rob?
Okay, I understand. But what about the type of yellow card that he got first that could have been a push on him first, and he gets the thing? Often we sit there, and the first thing we say is, have a bit of common sense, referee. Well, I thought the referee had a bit of common sense. I thought he felt it's a foul. It's not quite as bad. He did go and have a word with him. But the other thing I would say on that, Rob, and I want to get your view on it, is that if he did get a second yellow, and let's go down the route, in 2 minutes he gets two yellow cards, which isn't great, and throwing the ball away and whatever. But really, should a team have to go down to 10 men?
No.
Should a guy have to miss the next game for those two instances?
No, they shouldn't.
That shouldn't. So I thought, in the end, we got...
The rules are the rules. I totally agree. I think the rules are written a bit, particularly now, at any time.
But didn't the referee show a little bit of common sense and leniency and what we want, what we're asking for referees to do. He does that, and now we're saying that it could be... Yeah.
Listen, mate, you know me by now, right? And I'm a little bit black and white. I think if you start throwing around, well, you've got to show a little bit of common sense here. Well, when does he then, and when doesn't he? I think the rules are the rules, Rob, for me. I totally agree. So I would criticise the actual laws right now, particularly the first one. He's dumped on his backside, he's sliding back, he gets the ball and just chucks
it. I thought the second one was worse, was less of a foul. I thought Anthony Gordon knew exactly what he was. He caught him.
Well, what's Trent Gordon, doing? What's Trent doing?
Trent's trying to body him off.
He's near the ball.
He's trying to body him off as a defender. That's okay. He's contact sport.
If the ball's right there, I totally agree with you. But when the ball's ahead of him and he's going to run onto it and he stops him doing it, I mean, listen.
Yeah, we
differ on that. We differ on that. But I agree with you that would be kind of crazy for him to. I mean, there's a bit of emotion in football, Rob.
Correct.
Goodness,
and we
know that. Yeah. And I know this, like, they're trying to stop time wasting, adding all the minutes on. And we had the big Zoom call with Howard Webb, PGMOL boss, and sort of saying, this isn't going to be a 2 or 3 week stick. This is going to stick. Yeah. We want to brush up on the behaviour of all players and coaches for this game. It's not a good look for kids watching it. And I get all that. Mm. But talk about flipping sledgehammer to flipping crack a nut. Anyway, but maybe this is the part of the lesson, the teaching, and players will risk, you know, trying not to hold up play or stand in front of the ball or throw the ball away or just tap it away because you're going to get a yellow card.
Okay, let's move on because that's one incident. Let's move to the next big call. Was it 26 minutes on the clock?
I think we agree on this one.
I think we agree. So, Anthony Gordon comes inside, has a ball, slides a lovely ball through into Alexander Isak's path, who's away and taking a touch as if he's heading towards goal.
He was trying to take
a touch to head towards goal. Virgil van Dijk's running behind him, sort of to the side, but behind, and makes an attempt to win the ball. Right. Now, I think this was pretty clear to me. The question is, does Virgil van Dijk win the ball cleanly?
Because the first part, if it wasn't a foul...
Yeah.
If he does, he runs in on goal.
That's a denial of a goal scoring opportunity. So that's the jeopardy when you make that challenge.
That was going to happen.
Correct.
So then it becomes, did he foul him or not?
Did he foul him or not? And we had enough looks with good replays, some slow-mos. I often tend to go with what my eye see, and my eye initially saw Isak's leg move, the right leg move across as he's stepping. I'm thinking
after the contact.
You don't do that if you think you're in. You don't do that if you've not been hit. And the more we saw replays, the more the evidence I thought was damning for Van Dijk. Mm. He caught Isak's foot. Isak goes down. It's denial of a goal-scoring opportunity, and that is a red card.
There's a couple of people on social media, Rob, that's chucked out there, not just to us, a few other pundits and stuff, that quoting this law, and there was a slight change in the summer. It's the triple jeopardy thing where it's inside the box. Yeah. If that same challenge happens inside the box, and it's a foul and a penalty is awarded,
it's only
a yellow card because he is genuinely trying to get the ball. Yeah. But it's outside the box, so... Yeah.
It's a denial of a goal-scoring opportunity on that one, isn't it?
It just is.
So, falls under a different category.
Yeah, so I don't think that's really... I'd love to hear an argument from somebody that believes that that's not the right call. I think the referee, to be fair at the time... Mm. Got absolutely spot on.
And I've just got to say here, Rob, and it isn't often you'll hear me criticise Virgil van Dijk and that, but I thought his behaviour when it happened as captain of a Liverpool football club was not good. And I'm a fan, a big fan of Virgil van Dijk as a man, as a footballer, what he's brought
to the Premier
League. When
you say about his behaviour...
I thought some of the language that was directed to the referee, his body language, his language and his demeanour towards the fourth officials. I know he's disappointed. I know he doesn't feel it's a red card. And, of course, he believed that he won the ball. But you have to act in a certain way. You know, we are talking about the influence of what this game does around the world to everybody watching. And I was disappointed in Virgil van Dijk. I just want to put it out.
No, I think so. I mean, so it continued, didn't it?
Yeah.
It continued
off the field
to the fourth official, I think.
Down the tunnel.
And just on that challenge again, Rob, let's be honest about this. He wasn't in a position to get goal side to Isak to defend that in the textbook way, really. When somebody makes a run, you try and read it and get goal
around.
Side. Yeah. He wasn't going to be there, so he was committed to stopping it
immediately. You take a gamble, that, didn't you?
Kind of a lunge, but it was... ball or nothing.
Yeah, if he doesn't hit the ball, the jeopardy is.
So he's probably a yard out of position where he couldn't drop off and see the run out. So not his best moment there. But that of course changed the game. And at
then
this
one
point,
more, then Newcastle get the goal courtesy of a Trent error. Again, the goal
came first, didn't it? I think the goal came first from Trent Alexander-Arnold missed the ball. Then I think the red card was a few minutes after the goal.
Oh, yeah.
So they're one. So, yeah, just on that, Trent Alexander-Arnold again, Rob. Yeah. We talked about him with the incident where he almost got sent off. Yeah. Maybe should have done, maybe not, whatever. Yeah. And then the ball goes under his foot. Mm. I tend to think, listen, it happens to a lot of players where they miscontrol it, or is it more of when you're a defender, you really got to make sure that you don't make a mistake there. What's your thought on that?
Listen, it's easy to pile on Trent because that's a common thing to do. Defenders make mistakes. It happens. We've all been there, and the ball, you know, you don't quite look, or you're looking up what you're going to do and you don't take your touch. What I would say is, and I said this in and it was our last podcast, I said it on a production call and a few times, the last few weeks I've seen Trent. I enjoy it and think he offers something very different and special to Liverpool when he drops into that midfield. And you can see against Bournemouth, his assists and what he can do. But I still feel his role needs to be defined. When he goes to receive balls with his back to play, when they're playing out from the back, it's not as safe as Brighton. It's not as safe as Manchester City. There's a risk element to it. And that risk is when they've got possession. When they out of possession, the risk's even bigger because he's caught in field and that right-hand side today was Martic with Canute not being fit. There's still a threat down the right-hand side for Liverpool. And I know you talked about on the last podcast, you know, do Liverpool have to go and address that with getting a top-class defender
legit
who goes
regular,
in there, who deals with that problem? I'm not sure if it is. I just feel that this team needs to, in the way that De Zerbian spent a bit of time with Brighton in the summer series, how he drills in how they're going to work the ball out the back and there's lack of risk and there's a safety. I don't think Liverpool have that same safety when they're playing from the back.
I mean, you bring up the Bournemouth situation, Rob, and again, his teammates, he came into midfield, the goal they conceded early, he had a bad touch on the ball, led to the first goal for Bournemouth, and then Liverpool, the forwards came out again, and they won the game 3-1. Yeah. So that's another game today, and it's just something to note.
It's not trying to jump on it. I think it's more than Trent. I think it's the whole back four and the whole team needs to be coached in a certain way. It's not just Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Mm. Yeah. So then, of course, Newcastle United. Yeah. Oh, I thought, by the way, first half, Rob, I remember talking at halftime on our show, I thought they were composed, mature, no drama defensively, no errors at that point in the game. They saved that for second half. And no yellow cards. Like they addressed a really emotional game really well.
Yeah.
What happened in the second half? What happened in the second half when they're 1-0 up?
Yeah.
I know what I think it is, but I want to hear your take first of like, how can they lose that in terms of game management at that point?
They gave possession away easily in quite dangerous positions. In areas where you would think, say, first thought safety, I thought they turned the ball over. I thought the changes that came into the team didn't necessarily push them on. Whereas, you know, I one of the things I talked about on the broadcast was Newcastle's strength of depth now, when you can go to Wilson, when you can go to Barnes and Longstaff and all that. I didn't think that helped them. When Anthony Gordon left the pitch, a sport went out in Newcastle. I didn't think they defended particularly well for a team that was so good last season.
Joint best defensive team last year.
The centre-backs were getting pulled around. Maybe that's because possession gets lost. Mm. And the turnover caused them problems. So I just felt that their game management wasn't at the level that we'd seen first off or what we'd expected from Eddie Howe's team.
And I'll go on from that point. And you're right, game management. So I'll try and be specific about it.
Yeah.
I feel like Newcastle United are at their best. We know when they're at the best, and our listeners probably do as well, when they're flat out.
Mm.
They're a heavy metal, like Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool.
Yeah.
Their intensity is insane, the fitness levels, etc. When they're up against it, St. James's Park and the team go crazy, and they can run all over you.
Yeah.
I thought this was, like, weird. 1-0, this is kind of comfortable.
Yeah.
I thought the fans, it got not quiet, it never quite there, but you know, like, well, this is kind of nice, this looks kind of easy. Yeah. I've got to say, it wasn't so Liverpool's body language as like, roll the sleeves up, right, yeah, let's find a way. I thought they were kind of passive, like, and we were in the studio, like, yeah, what a shame, what a shame there's a man sending off.
Yeah.
And then from that situation, like, wow, look what happened. And I put it down to this: Newcastle United haven't got another way of playing, or haven't got an effective way of playing, yeah, other than let's go for it. And the past, you've seen Wilson come on and Harvey Barnes come on, and they drive forward and they score more goals and they're ruthless. So they didn't do that.
Yeah.
If you're not going to do that then against a team with 10 men, then keep the ball. Mm. Keep the ball. Keep it popping around. And Liverpool are fed up. They're a man less. They can't get the ball. They get tired. And then maybe you create a chance or you see the game out 1-0. They did neither.
Yeah.
Neither of those, because of your point, they gave the ball away too easily.
Yeah.
And Liverpool were like, well, hang on. Oh, wow, okay. I've got the ball here. And well, maybe I can find Nunez and everybody else.
Can I count your point? Because I think it's a really good point in that. That was possibly a criticism we used to give to Liverpool at times, where that they went. And I suppose the out for Eddie Howe on this one would be, maybe that takes time, Rob. Maybe to bed one's system and style of play is one thing, that intense. Maybe the next year, 18 months, 2 years is, okay, when we're not intense, this is what we do. He's maybe not onto that manual yet.
Remember the last podcast, Rob, from match week 2, I think it was?
Yeah.
Where they played Man City, didn't they?
Man City last
weekend.
I
remember writing down my notes. If Man City want to be able to compete with Man City, then they've got to find a way to keep the ball.
Yeah.
And to be excellent in possession. They didn't do it against Man City, so they didn't have the ball long enough.
Yeah.
And they couldn't have the ball long enough in this game to frustrate and bury Liverpool a little bit. Yeah. So,
interesting point, and maybe part of the development that's got to come with Eddie Howe and time. But I just think it's one of those, and this is the days I'm thinking, like Tonali. Whenever we've heard from Eddie Howe and that, he said Tonali's the one who can give us some composure. Certain games, he said, in Champions League and Premier League, when it starts getting hairy, he's the one who can compose us and keep playing. The game got away from him and them in that area. Guimarães, him and Joao.
Bruno Guimarães gave the ball away for the second goal.
They gave the ball away a lot. Yeah.
Eddie Howe afterwards was like, you know, we let Liverpool, it was a dangerous side. I think inside is like, what happened there? What did we do there? That's a blow for them, Rob, just in terms of going forward.
It's,
how are they going to...
It's not terminal. It's two defeats, two back-to-back defeats. The nature of this defeat, because of Liverpool going out in 10 men for virtually an hour of the match, you're not seeing it out. That's what hurts. They've got to bounce back, Rob.
Mm.
They've just got to bounce back. They go away to Brighton. It's going to be a difficult place to play. Go and put a win against Brighton. Go and show your intensity and do that against Brighton.
Liverpool side. Two players I want to talk to you about before we're going to end with a little chat about Mo Salah. Wataru Endo got the start today in this new, brand new Liverpool midfield, the holding player. I'm not saying that we can say anything too conclusive, because when you get a man down, it's not easy. Any thoughts on him early, or is it way too early to kind of assess?
I
don't have a ton of it, because
I don't have a ton. I'll tell you what, I thought tactically he knows where to find the spaces in between the lines when the centre back gets it, just to join the player. I saw him do that a few times, Rob.
He gets very close to centre backs.
Very
close
to
Van Dijk
and wants to bounce it off. You got to remember, though, this guy, Rob, he gets his first start with Liverpool last week when they're down to 10 men. He gets his first Premier League's full start today and they're down to 10 men. ain't been pretty normal circumstances where... We'll see. I know there seems to be a bit of a thing out there. Like, I don't know if he's going to be athletic enough and all that.
Yeah.
Let's give the guy 5-6 games. Let him bed down and let's see how that goes.
Last player to talk about before we get to Mo Salah, Darwin Nunez.
Welcome back, my friend. I don't know where you've been, but welcome back to the light side.
Yeah, well, that's an impact.
So let's just chuck this one out there. There seems to be, and again, I don't want to pick up on too much gossip and rumour, but there seems to be, and from evidence that we've seen and a few things that Klopp said, as though there's been a little bit of some friction between Nunez and Klopp. We know the language barrier is a bit of a problem. He wants him to learn English. You know, when the team's needed someone, if Salah's not playing or Salah's come off, he's not necessarily been the go-to guy. Almost like he's fell out of favour a little bit with Klopp. And I sense that can be Jurgen Klopp, like you're in with him or all of a sudden you're not. I just wonder if the goals today and the spark that he showed almost might build a bridge between the two of them and we can go again. Because I said on air, Rob, and I still believe it, a fit, fired, focused Darwin Núñez can get 20 Premier League goals in a team like Liverpool.
Totally agree. I don't know about the relationship, Rob. I don't get that sense between Klopp and Núñez. Mm. My thought is really, I think he's still trying to protect him. For some reason, I guess it's the club record signing the reason, but there's a lot of expectation on Darwin Núñez, and there's been situations before where he's got chances, he flashes them wide, or he misses easy chances, and it's like, if we throw him in there now, is it a bit early for him to get on the wrong side of the fans? I just don't know whether there's that bit side of it. Now, with this impetus... Yeah. Surely it's the time, isn't it, to say, you know what, you deserve a start.
It's better than Gakpo in that position.
I think it's better than Gakpo in the number nine position.
Threat.
And just give him a run. Yeah. Give him a run. Yeah. We know there's options up there. Jota can play there as well. So good for him. Yeah. Good for him. I've always liked him.
Yeah, me too.
Because even though sometimes the finishing's not super clinical, he's always there.
Yeah.
He always gets chances, Rob.
Yeah, he does.
So big news today. Well, big news, but there's a lot of stories coming out of Saudi Pro League that they're making. They're very, very serious on Mo Salah, and the Mo Salah people are considering this, and different reports, and I don't know,
different things.
This
Old Premier League insider David Ornstein has gone pretty strong and say he doesn't think
it's going to happen.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen this right now.
Yeah,
maybe down the line, who knows? In a year or so's time, with a year left on his contract, it might be something both parties feel might be the right.
But the reports of people haven't heard them. Is that this could be his last game for Liverpool because they're going to push it after today's game.
Yeah, again, 7 days.
Yeah, I mean, we don't normally, Rob, on our show or on our podcast go with too many of these that aren't like The Athletic or Sky or the Telegraph.
It was strong enough, wasn't it? It was in The Echo.
We just thought we'd bring it in to mention it.
And a big worry for Liverpool, Rob, is what we need to find out is really, what do Liverpool think about it? What does Mo Salah think about it? Because if either of those parties wants to make this thing happen, it looks like it could.
It could happen. Yeah, I would imagine it'd have to be a huge fee, quite a bit over £100 million, I would think, to lose him right now.
Yeah.
But maybe overriding that, if Mo Salah particularly wants this move,
to go.
Which is not, it wouldn't be on really, given the pushing of the contract. He got this huge big contract at the football club.
And also, there's no time to buy a replacement.
No,
if he wants to go out the door, the window's next Friday. It's
I got to say, it would be sensational if I can't see it. I can't see it happening. Anything's going to happen real quick.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Plenty going on in that Newcastle game. Liverpool win 2-1. There was plenty going on at the Emirates, my friend, and there was plenty going on quite early from Fulham's point of view, getting themselves a goal up again. It's not conceding early, which seems to be a thing for them. They get themselves back in the game late on, a couple of substitutes come on and make a difference. And then they concede late from a corner kick and from a 2-1 winning position. They end up with a 2-2 draw that doesn't feel like it's a point gained.
No, there's a few stories here that there's a few angles that's very out there, very obvious. The one thing before we get into those, Rob, is that I felt like with Arsenal going behind so early, the normal Arsenal flow, rhythm, game plan was totally, you know, oh, blimey, like out the window, and the desperation came in straight away. And I get it. And the fact, you know, that, wow, we must go back. And then it changed from a calm, steady, patient build up and attacks to like everybody get forward, habits in the box all the time. Yeah. You know, we've got to try and get back in the game.
Panicky one.
Yeah, panicky, no flow to it, no rhythm to it. And the sucker punch at the end when they don't pick up Paulinho is crazy. From, I mean, Bakayo Saka, Rob, in terms of the mistake, we just talked about it with Trent.
Yeah.
And we're never going to be too harsh on individual, like, errors.
Talented players.
Talented players that generally got great technique and it was a bad ball.
He gets caught, I think, between playing at the centre-back, playing at the goalkeeper does neither.
Yeah.
Well-read. Pereira, he gets in and scores. Got a really good finish.
So, let's get into what Arsenal fans are talking about a lot. And that's the manager and how he's changing things.
Experimentation.
I remember the first game of the season or the first, you know, the opener here. I'm like, this is a lot different for Arsenal. This is a lot different defensively. So, Thomas Partey playing at right back, going into midfield. Kivior this time. We had Tomiyasu before that at left back. Now, Zinchenko hasn't been fit at the start. He's okay now. Ben White is a centre back alongside Saliba. Okay, let's zoom it forward. Should he go back to last year's back four from next game?
You would think so, based on it hasn't been that secure, sound. I haven't seen anything that's made me think, wow, this is going to hurt people. You had a pretty solid base. You had Ben White, who was excellent at playing, you know, great relationship with Saka.
Inside runs,
you got
outside Salah runs.
Salah and Gabriel, who, you know, were a great partnership till the injury came. There was no problem till Saliba left, really. Then Gabriel's game went off a little bit because I think he was trying to babysit the likes of Holding and those coming in. And Zinchenko on the other side.
Zinchenko's a miss. Zinchenko's been a miss.
Yeah, he's back. He looks like he's back fit and close to it now. So,
could you say that Arteta's got a bit busy with the team, overcomplicated it? I mean, the Partey makes sense. He's a midfield player that can go from right back to go and do that job. Pushes on Declan Rice.
Yeah.
I just think that Bukayo Saka really enjoyed playing with Ben
White. Yeah, it was a relationship, wasn't it?
And I love Ben White as a player, so I like him as a centre back. But maybe his abilities at right back is still
and what he can do and what he can offer.
Yeah,
I agree. I just don't. It was almost like this part's not broken. Why are we trying to fix it?
Yeah, he did. What he has done. So I would expect Zinchenko is so important to come back in and Gabriel that's been out of favour.
Yeah. I wonder what that one's all about. Does Gabriel come back in? Is he happy with Partey? Does he keep White and Saliba? Is he back to?
I think he's got to go back to what it was. And we're going to get into an area now, Rob, where is Mikel Arteta one of those that's a bit stubborn? And like, I know best. And this will work. And I do like Thomas Partey at right back coming to midfield. And we can figure out.
It's on his head, isn't it? These things. You know, it's a big call. And these big calls have to kind of work now. One, because he's been backed with money. And two, they've got to close the gap.
Talking of big calls that cost money.
Yeah.
Mr. Havertz.
Yes.
Hello, where are we?
Where art thou?
Now, I think at the start, you were more positive about the signing.
Yeah.
And I basically said I wouldn't have done it for that money.
Okay.
But understood, like, wow, if you can make this work, fair play to you.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, right now, he's doing nothing.
Okay.
I tell you what, I feel like, sorry mate, no, I feel like Kai Havertz in this particular game, and in maybe in the last one as well, he's in the box a lot, which is good.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't get on the end of a few of these, if he doesn't assist and look like scoring, there's no build-up play from him in the midfield so much, only very simple bits of build-up. He's not a defensively minded guy like Granit Xhaka in the same position that will come back and help out next to Declan Rice.
Yeah.
So he's got to be getting goals for me. You know, even if it's not many touches, goals.
Yeah.
At the moment, we've had neither. Make a case that Mikel Arteta is right to play him in the next game.
Okay.
You don't have to make a case, by the way, if you don't think you should.
No. I'll make a case, and I'll try and give my perspective. 3 weeks of the season, I'm not going to judge a player or going into a new football club. 3 weeks going into a season of a new football club that's playing different with different personnel worries me even more. I think putting Kai Havertz in the system when Arsenal are playing the groove football, a bit like I think you talked about Mason Mount, when Arsenal's football is better, you'll see better from Kai Havertz. Yeah. Arsenal's football at the moment is bitty, and it doesn't it's not flowing. So he's not flowing. He's making money. He's getting too far ahead of the ball. He's blocking paths wrong at the moment. And that's because, you know what he's doing? He's almost like, well, it's not really working back there. Let me get up front and get a goal.
Yeah, I want to do something. Yeah.
And that's what that's where I think. I think if he's given a little bit of time and the rhythm and the structure comes back, I can still see Kai Havertz being a really important player for Arsenal.
Fair enough.
And we'll see.
You would stick.
I would stick with him for now. Yeah, I'd stick with him for now. I think there's other parts of the team that are not performing as well. I'm not saying he's helping, but I just think there's other parts. Let me get the rhythm back into my team, and then let me have a look at him. Let me judge him when our football's better.
Let me just add this, you know, in terms of midfield, Rob. And I'm thinking about who else could play in there. And I look at Fabio Vieira, came into the game, looked pretty bright.
Yeah.
I still think about artists and soldiers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Granit Xhaka, at times, was a very important part, because he's a soldier, player, to get back and help out. Mm. Arsenal had a brilliant defence for massive majority, fell away a little bit towards the end. Given Havertz's his limited attacking impact... I worry that Declan Rice needs a bit of help in there. And I need more time to think about what the answer could be, but I'm thinking if Vieira comes in there, Jorginho is not... Maybe there's a basic position for Jorginho to come and hold. I don't know. I'm just questioning the balance.
Yeah.
And others have done that in Man United. You know, too many... Yeah, the number eights, they love to get forward. It's all good.
I hear
you. But at times you need defensive help.
I need to see Arsenal a better...
Functioning
Arsenal before I say, it's not working.
Okay.
Let me give him another 3 or 4 games.
Okay, and finally, just the centre-forward. It wasn't Trossard's best outing.
No.
Looks like Gabriel Jesus is okay again now. What sort of boost does that give them?
It's a massive boost, mate, because he can play anywhere across the line. So sometimes he'll swap with Martinelli. He closes down really well. He's hungry. It looks like he wants to get playing again. So big boost for him. You know, I'm expecting big things. And they're at home to Manchester United, mate, next weekend, Sunday game. So it's going to be a massive game for both those teams who, you know, they're both, you know, Arsenal haven't started the season badly. United, same, but they're not really playing that well, either of them at the moment.
Just a quick line before we move on, Rob. Just pull them real quick.
Yeah.
I mean, Mitrovic going to Saudi Pro League is a hammer blow, I've got to say. Raul Jimenez, Mexican forward, very talented player. I don't know. I mean, that's who they're going to rely on. I mean, Vinicius that will come into the side.
Mm-hmm. I thought they showed.
It's a good result.
Spirited. They were spirited, Rob, because you know it's been a horrible pre-season for them.
Mm.
You know, 1 minute the manager was going, Mitrovic going, Mitrovic eventually out the door. Mm. They're trying to bring players late and two things. Marco Silva said to us in the summer, he said, "We're not where we need to be at pre-season, but you know you have to kick off and you have to get ready."
There's one player that I love to bits, by the way, and he's not going to be my underappreciated this weekend. Because I think he's really appreciated at the club. João Palhinha, the midfield player that can do a bit of everything, got the all-important set-piece volley from the corner in between Arsenal defenders. I just love his attitude.
Mm.
I mean, he's so many times as we defending, blocking, intercepting, playing like another centre-back at times, which is that position is really what you should be doing at certain moments. I think that they will be sweating until September the 1st because there's talk about West Ham coming.
West Ham weren't they? They wanted him as a Declan Rice replacement, but
and he's in that position that teams need.
Yeah, he's an important player.
So I don't know.
I think
he's in the peak of his career right now, and I thought he looked really good.
Yeah,
after a shoulder injury in pre-season. Okay,
let's take you to Old Trafford, my friend, because this ended up Manchester United 3, Nottingham Forest 2. If we go to the 4th minute of the game, Nottingham Forest were 2-0 up. Tyro Awoniyi with a breakaway goal from a United corner. First Forest player to score in 7 consecutive Premier League games. Awoniyi's been an absolute diamond for, you know, coming into the league and people not quite sure what he could do, but he's delivered the goal. So they were 1-0 up after 2 minutes, Rob. After 4 minutes, they're 2-0 up. The ball hits Willy Bolly in the face. He doesn't know much about it. Goes in the back of net. They're 2-0 up.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, wow, it's on United. And it was the United team with Marcus Rashford back on the left.
Oh, yeah, Martial side
Anthony Martial back up front. Eriksen, Casemiro and Bruno in midfield. Mm. Antonio. So, decent footballing team. The kind of team that you would say. So, a terrible start.
Mm.
And then, in fairness to Rashford, he jinks on the outside, gets a good ball in. Eriksen gets a finish. And at 2-1, they start to get back into the game and start to get a bit of the composure back, to be honest, Rob, because they were definitely shaken by the first two goals from Forest.
I mean, another one. I mean, the big clubs this weekend, I mean, talk about some crazy stuff going on. This is in the 10 o'clock window Eastern time, wasn't it? And we saw the Arsenal go behind, Man United 2-0 behind. What is going on? We've just seen Man City game, Liverpool game. Again, it was hard to keep a close eye on this. All I know is that this kind of results are very. I don't know. We all know that they're going to give the squad a boost. I particularly like Eriksen. You know, scoring. I like him playing alongside Casemiro because of his passing. There's been many times where this team is not playing well, and he puts in Eriksen.
So on that point, Bob, is Mason Mount a bit of a luxury?
Back to your point about Habert, let's just call the Jets on him.
No, but what I'm saying is, okay.
It's the same kind of idea, by the way, as Arsenal. He's a number eight. And you're going to play with Mason Mount.
What I'm saying is, you're going to play Mason Mount and you're going to play Bruno. You've got Eriksen there who doesn't feature basically.
In that V, if you like.
Well, you're just saying how important he is and how Casemiro looks like a nice player and how he often is.
I know, because I love Eriksen.
The integral part of the build up. So you're almost saying, I'll take that out. And then I'm losing something.
And
I'm getting Mason Mount in the top end when things are good.
Because Mason Mount can't do what Eriksen does as a number six to play alongside Casemiro.
To build it up.
He's good and he knits stuff together. Mm. He's busy but he's not Eriksen. Eriksen's vision and awareness to play. So that's a difficult one.
Yeah.
But back to your analogy of Arsenal, should we wait until Man United are playing in the fashion and keeping possession so then Mason Mount can get involved?
But can Mason Mount and Eriksen play in the same team? Is my question then? Because he's going to get ball. You'd have to move Bruno to one side. To maybe right for Anthony, have Rashford left and Martial and then.
But I don't think Bruno likes playing out there, but that's the way that you do it, isn't it?
Maybe
so you
narrow
Bruno
right.
out there, you play Mason Mount as a 10, and you play Eriksen alongside Casemiro. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see that.
When Mason goes in, he's not at his best doing what Eriksen can do next to Casemiro.
He's an attacking guy.
And then if you don't play Eriksen, then Mason doesn't really get in the game as much.
No,
it's an interesting.
And again, this is the first few weeks.
Man
United have been way below their par. They've just been way below. So once they get towards their par and their normal kind of performance, then maybe we can make some more conclusions about midfield.
Yeah.
But another game, Casemiro, another chance for him to find his proper Premier League fitness level.
Which is
and the end of the day, and by the way, this weekend's a weekend for like flipping out. Let's just get the win.
With
all craziness going on, they did it. They did it, Manchester
Came
United.
Back with the
so they sit, you know, they don't sit in a bad spot in the league table right now. I'm sure they want to have more points than six after three games, but they're still sat in sixth spot.
What about that game at Arsenal next week? It's going to be being interesting, won't it, for both of those two?
I know. But fair play.
Fair play, from 2-0.
We weren't surprised, by the way. Old Trafford.
No, we said, didn't we?
That's happened a lot of times before.
We fancied them.
All right,
okay, my friend, we're going to move on to Sunday games, to Sheffield United, Bramall Lane, home to Manchester City. Sheffield United team under Paul Heckenbottom, who said, I think physicality was going to be the kind of buzzword for them in terms of, listen, they're better than us, they have more technical ability than us, we're going to be well set up, we're going to be deep, and we're going to be physical. And they were, and they made it difficult for City for long periods.
They did, and I think three central defenders that were absolutely ready to be physical and aggressive with Big Erling Haaland. They roughed him up plenty of times, and we did a couple of analysis where, like, this is kind of close to a penalty, by the way.
Right
on the edge. And that's what, if you're Paul Heckenbottom, that's what you want.
Yeah.
Guys, play on
yeah.
the edge with him. Mm. Be smart. Don't give anything away, but you got to get really tight.
Get
there was many occasions.
Conversations.
And then, of course, the camera goes on in his face, Ireland. And I tell you what, Rob, he's got a good mentality.
Yeah, he has,
And he got a good mentality.
I wondered, Rob, at half-time, I thought, looks a bit like they're getting to him out. I'm going to see what he's like.
He misses the penalty
that's big, and the fans are starting, and maybe one or two chirping in his ear. And I'm thinking, a little test for him, because he's still a young man, Rob, in many respects.
Yeah, and you'd said in the game, he's going to score.
Yeah.
And I tended to agree, but because let me just do a comparison, right, a real quick one. If that's a Richarlison.
Yeah. Why didn't I know you were going to say it? Yeah, I mean, or Luis Suarez, or Diego Costa.
Right.
Or there's a certain type of centre forward.
Absolutely right. And you looked at his face, because we've got plenty of looks at his face. Yeah. And his eyes were like, wow, this is really happening to me. Okay. Yeah. And his focus was still there, Rob. And I love that. Yeah. I love that emotional control. Yeah. That's the best way. Yeah. And like, I'm not going to fight you or get frustrated or get sent off or I'm going to keep doing my thing. And he takes his header beautifully. Fair play to Jack Grealish on the first
great
goal.
Bit of skill,
good bit of skill because he frustrated me in the game, Grealish. Which he does at times where he gets the ball and he comes back so many times instead of backing himself to go down the line and cross it or pull it back or whatever. And he did it brilliantly. Mm. Brilliant little dink ball for Haaland to score. That was the first goal, wasn't it, after 63 minutes to get them back or to get them 1-0 up.
Yeah.
And then Bogle scores.
And then, Sheffield United come back in the game, make a couple of substitutes. Burnley comes on, Bogle comes on. All of a sudden, they're having a go.
Yeah.
He smashes one in that was... had all stuff going on. So, Walker decides to do a back heel in his box, which, by the way, if Pep's at the game, he never does. He never does that. Or he's off the pitch. He then ends up ending off the pitch, Rob.
And he was annoyed with himself. He sat there like, oh, no, what's happened?
Which means because he's in that position, no Sheffield United forward can be deemed offside because it's now a player
he's
and a goalkeeper.
Being on the goal
being
line.
On the goal
when he's
line,
off the field.
And
yeah.
he's off the field. So when the shot comes in and McBurney's close and probably impedes
was offside
Edison
position.
In an offside position, the flag doesn't go up because Walker's there. And Walker's reaction after it was goals, on it kicking the hoardings and mad with himself.
Yeah.
But also, Sheffield United back in the game, at home at Bramall Lane, we're talking a whole different thing.
And with a game that the general pattern of it looked as one-sided as I've seen for a long time. The quality levels. Now, we've seen bigger scorelines, obviously.
Yeah.
But just in general, like, how are Sheffield United going to even
They didn't even have a shot, did they?
Attacking final third, they did. Hardly anything. So the fact that they got back into it was pretty amazing. And then fair play to Kyle Walker.
Yeah.
Does a good job on that far side.
Wins the ball back. Yeah. And then he crosses it in.
To Foden.
Foden takes a little bit of a bad touch. And there's our guy. There's Superman, by the way.
Yeah.
There's Superman.
He's Superman. Yeah, he is.
Rodri.
Different
big
class.
Big moment. You need something. Big left boot. Bang. Goal. Win.
Talking point. Kevin De Bruyne is out for 4 or 5 months.
I knew we were going to go.
Well, we've got to go there.
Yeah, because I was going to ask.
The last weekend
was
against Newcastle, wasn't it? Phil Foden was unplayable.
Yeah.
And the connections, multiple, like 4 or 5, slide into Haaland, who should have done a bit better with some of them.
Absolutely.
Make me understand why he's not like... So Jack Grealish is like a permanent fixture on the left-hand side. Phil Foden seems to have to fight for time. Now, listen, I apologise if there's something...
We don't know if he's got a knock or a niggle or something that kept him.
Yeah. But particularly in the absence of Kevin De Bruyne, is he, Robbie Earle, a guaranteed starter in this situation?
Guaranteed starter? I suppose the answer would be no. If I answer your question, no. Let me tell you why today. I think. Let's say he isn't injured and there's nothing more than it's a tactical decision.
Okay.
Let me say it's more than a tactical decision.
Go on, persuade me.
We're playing Sheffield United. They're going to sit deep. They're going to be physical, like they are with Haaland on Foden. I know you're shaking your head. Yeah, you ask me, I'm
staying quiet.
I can't afford him to take a knock. I can't afford him to get injured in that game because I'll lose. Bear with me, right, Robbie Musto. Right. Bear with me. I'm trying to give you. I would play him, and if he played, but I'm trying to think
why you didn't.
And I can bring him on with 30 minutes to go where he can open up the game and win it for us. And next week we're playing and he'll be fine. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I don't know. I just can't get my head around it's a physical game. We don't need Phil Foden. The Premier League now is physical with those big defenders and the big players. But his ability to get in between.
Yeah.
I mean, Newcastle United are the most physical.
But it was
team.
A different game, though, today. Sheffield United could have put him in. Yeah, it was tight.
You could have thrown a blanket.
It was 30 yards between the lines. Yeah. So I think the other thing I'd say, Rob, and to your point, and you make a good point on air, no De Bruyne and no Foden lack creativity.
Yeah.
Good point. Well done. And I totally agree. Where I don't disagree is that Man City can win games in so many different ways. And today wasn't a creativity day. It wasn't a passing day. They weren't great at all the normal things. I mean, they had the ball, basically, because Sheffield and I couldn't keep it, But they got big other grit, Rob.
Diaz
chucks himself in front of a ball, mate, and gets it smacked in his chest and roars. And they can find other... why they're great champions.
I know.
You know, today wasn't their football. Today wasn't a Foden day or a De Bruyne day, because one wasn't playing and one's injured. But they still won 2-1 away, which Arsenal right now would have drawn that game.
Yeah. Would you say, though, that they can't... That winning that other way, which they... I agree.
Yeah.
That week after week after week, that becomes harder? Or do you still believe that whatever the week it is, they'll find a way?
Yeah,
whether it's Grealish, whether it's Bernie Silva does something crazy.
I just see them sitting top of the table, right? Three wins in three, when everybody else has got, you know, the sevens and the sixes and the fives have had their off day and didn't get full points. Mm. These can have their off day. And by the way, if you want to come and play with us and open the game up, then we'll see another Man City.
Mm. No, I think... When you win the treble, you've got to have goal scorer, creativity, spirit, character, bounce back ability, durability, physicality. They're a giant team.
We saw them at Burnley, mate.
I walked alongside the pitch and I saw Nathan Ake, who looks from our normal on the TV.
Average guy.
Giant, broad, you know, let alone Rodri.
Yeah.
I mean, Rodri, what's he, 6'4 or something? Built like a...
Looks like an NFL player, doesn't he?
Yeah. It's the physicality on that team as well. And Stephen Warnock mentioned it, to be fair, on the things. Yeah.
Down the centre of the pitch, you've got Haaland, you've got Rodri, you've got Diaz.
Vardial, the new kid who's a beast as well.
You've got Walker, who's a beast out there. You've got goalkeeper who comes and... Yeah,
and
they found
mentality.
Another way.
And
there was no Pep today. And, you know, people were looking at maybe, no Pep on the side. It wasn't a perfect day by any means, but it's a massive 3 points for City.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play. Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Let's go to
South Coast.
South Coast Vitality. Bournemouth 0, Tottenham 2. Ange Ball, my friend.
Oh.
Away you go. And just for any of our viewers and listeners, before we go, we did a breakdown of Ange Ball on the tactics show. Have a real look at it. We spent a little bit of time. It's a great insight into what we can look forward to over the course of the season. A new manager who's come in and totally changed the outlook and the culture at the football club.
Yeah, that's on NBC Sports YouTube channel, where some of you might be watching this with the Two Robbies podcast, but there's a tactics show on there that we kind of throw together at the end of the day and trying to think about something real quick that we've seen over the weekend, and it was kind of Tottenham, because I can't wait to explain how it's different to everybody. And the first weekend, Rob, we saw it. And we saw it again in this game. And it was the reason why that's where the goals came from. Tottenham Hotspur the last... For as long as Harry Kane's been playing, have been so reliant on one person.
Yeah.
This name's Harry Kane, and he's brilliant enough to be able to do it. This Tottenham is different. Mm-hmm. Richarlison is having a struggle, but the team still scores goals. Yeah. There's going to be goals from different areas, from different players you wouldn't expect. The fullbacks were involved today, central midfield players, that with the insurance of fullbacks that are playing like central midfield players, that they can get forward and make things happen. With the liberation, go and do what you want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're set up. We've got two centre backs, two full backs. It's very different, and it's been very effective. The fans are totally bought in. absolutely bought in. They love
this
style.
We've got our Tottenham back.
They've got a special song already for Ange himself. And he's so graceful, so humble. And he's like, you know, I haven't done anything. We've only just started. He's super humble. And I love that about him. But the football tactically is it just means that the players can go and express themselves with the knowledge that the manager's okay with this. If I'm Udogi and I'm the fullback, you know what? I'm going to make a run like a striker into the channel in behind.
As long as the ball's there, and I've got to say the security. I'm not going to get dragged off like Mourinho or Conte. It'd drag you off if you got in those positions. And isn't it funny, Rob? Because I was just thinking about this actually when we did the tactics show, and there was a great shot of Postecoglou after the game with his players and with the fans and all that. And I was thinking, I don't know at the time, was he fifth or sixth choice? Was it, you know, people who didn't want the job were distancing them from the job, and it was a bit like, oh, we've got the guy from Celtic. What's this going to be like? I think people thought he's going to be another Espirito Santo, one of those who's just come in, a bit of a holder for 12 months, and then we'll sort it out.
Yeah.
God, it doesn't look very different.
Maybe that. Again, listen, mate. Maybe we are getting carried away after three games.
Yeah,
but at least Daniel Levy now. Maybe he's picked a winner. Maybe he's picked a decent guy. And listen, come March, April, I don't know whether they're going to be in the mix for the top four. If they keep playing like this and they don't get too many injuries, you know, maybe they pick up another player.
Increase the quality.
In January they get somebody.
Increase the quality.
They got some money.
I'll tell you what the difference is between the times you're talking about and now. The fans will be with them. Because it's been done in the way that they want to be done. It's the kind of football that they want to see. And they'll give that a little bit more patience.
When the bad results happen.
They'll have a little bit more. Yeah, of course they can have a bad one. They'll go two or three where they don't win, you know, two defeats in a draw. But I think they'll be with them because it's doing it what Tottenham want, the Tottenham way of playing.
And they got
football.
The ball in. Nice to have the ball.
Oh, man.
Have the ball all the time.
It must be an absolute dream.
I love
dream.
It. I know. Instead of chasing, you know. I mean, Bournemouth are trying to do it their way under Areola, of course, the new coach that they've got. They're still finding their feet, Rob. They're still finding their feet.
Bournemouth, Let me chuck one player at you, mate. Because I kind of think sometimes, like, we put ourselves in the position of people today. If you were Eric Dier, my friend, what are you thinking about your career? I'd love to be part of that, I think. I'd be watching going, I can do that. I could play in midfield or I could play at centre-back.
No, but he hasn't got the speed. He hasn't got the creativity to play the ball as Ange wants in midfield.
Yeah.
Those two players.
Yeah.
It's a new midfield.
Well,
saying nothing's going to change that. Rodrigo Bentancur is a player.
But he can totally
fit in there with those two. But Eric Dier, And Eric Dier, with it being high, and we've talked about it, the two centre-backs are on their own when they're attacking.
Any
counter-attack, you've got to be quick.
Yeah.
And Van der Ven's quick.
Super quick, yeah.
Along with Romero, who's a beast of a defender. So. He picked it pretty early. He picked it pretty early. The die is not marked.
Really, I've got to look away.
Yeah, totally. 100%. There's nothing that's going to say that he's going to get in this team and stay in it.
Yeah.
I mean,
it might come in for the odd game or whatever.
The odd game. It's a bit like Maguire at United.
Yeah.
When a new manager comes in and wants his way, and Erik ten Hag's the same thing where he's throwing people forward and there's going to be space in behind, you've got to have a quick defender. And Dier's not. He's a brilliant career and he's a wonderfully composed footballer. Yeah. But he's not a great defender, particularly the way that Ange plays.
Just quickly, your last one is Maddison, by the way.
He
settled really well, hasn't he?
Yeah, some of those through balls and stuff.
He's enjoying it. I always think, top six players, people don't understand sometimes what that top six is about. And you know, back in our career days, you know, there's rumours that somebody's looking at you in this team and that team. When you play those top six teams with the real top six players, there's a level above that they do quicker, sharper, left foot, right foot, see things, all that. Madison's can step into that.
Yeah.
I wasn't good enough to step into that.
Nor was I.
Madison, who was at a lesser city where he was probably similar, you know, in a level where we think, we can survive here. He's jumped up and looks a better player.
Yeah, there isn't many players, even the Premier League, that can do the things that he does.
Mm.
And even though he makes it look easy, it's just not.
Yeah,
it's just not easy. And I'm like you. I played with players that could do that. Mm. And I played against many players that could do that.
Yeah.
And you notice and you appreciate that quality at the time. And now in our positions, Rob, we can try and enlighten people a little bit.
That's difficult to
slide those balls through, to pick the right decision, to wiggle away from defending players. I mean, he's a special talent. And I said to my son, Well, it's actually my son's buddy. They do this, the draft-based fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, one of you guys, get Maddison early, because I think he's going to have a really good time in this style, in a position that he's got total luxury. They have the ball all the time, Rob. Yeah. I mean, he's perfect for him. He's perfect for him.
Absolutely loves it.
Good. Tottenham, a good story right now.
Absolutely. Take it to the first game of the weekend. It was Friday at Stamford Bridge. It was Chelsea hosting Little Luton. But we're going to stop calling them Little Luton because it sounds a bit demeaning on them. So Luton Town went to Stamford Bridge. Unfortunately, they ran into an informed Raheem Sterling, a great right side of the pitch in Gusto and Sterling combining, and Nicholas Jackson getting his first Premier League goal, which I think Chelsea fans will feel will be first of many.
Yes, I think Nicholas Jackson has the potential to get lots of goals given the way that he plays, and he's on the shoulder guy, so he's not a back to guard, he's not a link up guy, and we looked at him first half, Rob.
Yeah.
And the story's a good one for him after this game, but the story wasn't a good one in the first half.
No, his link-up play,
was bad. He gave the ball away a lot. His first touch wasn't good. But I do like a striker that wants to run there all the time, running behind. And he did. And he got his goal late on. It's a good ball in from the right-hand side from Raheem Sterling, Rob. We've got the new-look midfield now with Caicedo starting the game with Enzo and Conor Gallagher. And there you go. Look, you know when we consider underappreciated, right?
Yeah.
Too late now. I'm not going to pick Conor Gallagher, but that's kind of what I feel about him at the moment, Rob. I don't know whether you agree with me. Conor Gallagher's the one that's always going to get pushed. Yeah. You know, Lav is going to come into the side, and you've got Enzo and all these expensive midfield players.
He's going to be a filling guy, isn't he?
He is, but he's been doing so
well.
He's
going to be a filling guy for Chelsea, or he could be a star for somebody
else. Yeah, he could.
And that's the decision he and Chelsea might have to make.
Let me chuck this at you. If Conor Gallagher starts scoring goals, he could have scored.
He stays at Chelsea.
Could he be a star at Chelsea?
He stays at Chelsea.
Yeah, I know he stays at Chelsea. Yeah. But
he could be a star
like him,
at Chelsea because they haven't got another midfield player who's going to get regular goals. If he can get me 8 goals a season from midfield,
he's going to be part
and
of
do all that with the energy and that, he'll play in their team.
I know. He had a chance for the side foot. He didn't take it.
I want him to get goals.
I want him to get goals because I think it makes it interesting.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Lavia and Enzo and Caicedo in the same midfield.
Yeah.
You want something a little different. I mean, the Terry Venables.
Kid who's coming through the academy,
They're all different attributes you want as a three-man midfield. You want different parts, and they're a little bit...
Well, I think the good thing for Conor Gallagher is he's still there. They could have got him out. People were looking for him.
Poch must like him.
There's something that Poch likes, and he's dynamic, Rob. I remember seeing him in training. I saw the... Chelsea in LA when they were there training pre-season. He's dynamic. When he runs forward, he runs past 2 or 3 people.
Good
with
physicality.
Real pace, real power.
The star of the show was Raheem Sterling.
Yes, my friend. He was nearly my underappreciated performer of the week, by the way. Because I do think he's... I know that you've had a million underappreciated.
Yeah.
But he's one, I think, at times underappreciated. In a team that's young, inexperienced forwards, in a real transitional period of a football club, a new manager, a new way of playing. I thought his interview after that we saw with a friend from Sky was really interesting, really mature of a 28-year-old who's decided the next 5-6 years of my career I'm dedicating to football.
Yeah, I want to produce.
Other things outside the game, my commercial stuff and that, can take us a back seat for now. When he was in, I went into a press interview that he did during the summer, one of the Premier League pre-season games. He talked about his nutrition. He'd been to somebody, he went on a special diet. He said, I was just kind of pounds or two too many and it wasn't making me feel sharp. So he's looked at that. He's looked at, his off-field work. He's looked at making sure he's right. Partly he went in to see the manager and talk about how he can be more dangerous. How can I position myself?
He didn't like your position.
His back was always to goal and he felt he was joining in and deep. Now he wants to get goal. And Poch has basically said to him, get turned and run at people. I mean, it's incredible. And I just wonder if Poch is that manager who's a little softer than some of the guys he's had in the past, a little bit more arm round him, cajoling him, and I just thought he was excellent. He was a great example of what Chelsea are going to need if they're going to be successful.
I don't want to repeat what you said, Rob, but I think it's so important that Sterling in the interview accepted. I think he said, Rob, I've been a bit blurred.
I've been
a bit blurred last year, disappointed.
Hasn't been the focus.
As if he wasn't, he said he wants to focus on 24/7 again football and my career. And when you see him running with the ball right now, oh, he's different.
It's scary, isn't it? He's gone back to scary school.
His feet are quicker as anything. Yeah. And I think that the Pochettino point's another great one, and that's how Pep used him, Rob. Always wanted him to take on the last defender because that's the hardest bit. Mm. And it's not easy to do that. And Sterling's very good at doing that, as you saw for the goal that he scored. So that is almost like a new signing, given... I mean, he's only been there. I mean, he hasn't been there very long. He's a couple of years. But that his improvement and his dedication and his mind, whether it's Pochettino, whether it's Sterling himself, that's it. I mean, to be fair, that's how it should be. Yeah, he's a professional footballer. You know, you want to be achieving and playing at your very best. So his form right now is a story with Chelsea. Sure. And they're still finding their feet. And, you know, they win the game comfortably 2-0 against Luton. Three,
wasn't it? Two Sterling goals and then the
Jackson goal. He assisted on the third goal,
I want to chuck one at you. And I know you don't... You've got a counter-argument, and I'm happy to hear your counter-argument. Marlo Gusto is a young player, a French international international player, who's coming to the side. He was bought as an understudy for Reece James, which I totally get. Saw him all through the summer in the Premier League Summer Series. Fit, aggressive, can get forward, understands the game well. Got obviously built up a nice relationship with Sterling. Is there a chance that Raheem Sterling that Reece James could be a right-sided centre-back in a three and Marlo Gusto be the right-sided player?
No. There's a possibility, of course. I just think we saw it before.
About his pace on that outside.
What's Reece James's best attribute?
I think he can do. I think he's hybrid. I think he can attack well and put balls in the box. But I think he can defend well. And I think he can even attack from those positions. And Gusto could sit in for him.
I love Reece James as a wing attacking. The last line. But ultimately, Rob, I think Chelsea are going to want to play a back four.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Gusto, I like him a lot as well.
I just
don't know whether he's going to have to be a little bit patient. Mm. And by the way, does he have to be patient? Because Reece James is injured a lot.
Yeah, I know.
He's going to play a lot of minutes, Gusto. Mm. So I hear you, but I know you're trying to find the ultimate 11 and have Reece James and Gusto down that side with Sterling. I mean, it's a pretty formidable looking three.
Yeah.
And maybe if you can balance off in the centre and the left side, so Reece can say, go on, Reece, you go as well.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, it goes back to balance. Mm. But, maybe if you can get that third centre-back on the right side to really attack.
Yeah.
And that's some three players on that side. The other side's a little different because Chilwell prefers it on his own, I think.
Yeah, exactly. He wants to run.
He doesn't need a winger. So the project at Chelsea is fascinating.
And I like it. I like it, what I see. Mm. Let's go to some of the results, mate, because we've got to speed things up here. So Brighton hosted West Ham United. At the Amex, a Brighton team that won the first two games, scoring 8 goals, conceding 2, 6 points out of 6, we're top of the table. West Ham go there, get 20% possession, win the game 3-1. There you go. I mean,
could be a
bigger contrast in the two teams, how they want to do it, two managers, how their philosophies.
Different philosophies. And it just shows you, whichever
one
you want.
I love the Premier League for them.
Right, exactly.
Love the league for them.
Yeah. I mean, West Ham are... You know, we all know that they want a bit more progressive football.
Yeah. But fans.
The manager right now, it ain't really his gear. You know, he's a defensive first, get behind the ball, and they're very quick and powerful. I mean, Jared Bowen, I couldn't love him anymore as a player, Rob. Yeah. Jared Bowen. Because he's got the goal-scoring ability, he's got a lovely touch, he's got a bit of... He makes good decisions on the ball, and he's got a big heart.
He works for the team, doesn't he?
So he's brilliant. For a Moyes player, he is perfect.
He's David Moyes' love child, isn't he? I mean, he's golden boy. That's, you know, if he had a model of a player, it'd be terrible.
And the new players
could put Megan Antonio. Paquetá's a proper footballer, mate. I mean, Man City don't come in for players unless you're good on the ball. Got midfield players who did Alvarez. I thought did a good job in midfield.
Yeah, he's settling in okay. Got cramp. Yeah, cramp, new players do when they come in the Premier League a little bit.
And I'm just going to go with my underappreciated performer the week before we give any more love to West Ham, and it's a certain. And I called him. I'm going to rename him David De Moisi so that he's got an Italian or Portuguese.
Like a Deserbi.
It's a Deserbi. He's De Moisi. And that might give him a bit more love and a bit more appreciation because we appreciate all these foreign coaches who come in the country and say, play a different way and different style and that. And we've got good old David Moyes, who wins European competition, who has his team top of the table, having beaten Brighton at the weekend, and we still don't really love him. So David De Moise is the new manager of West Ham, we love him.
He is underappreciated, I think. And listen, I think bookmakers, given the summer, fighting with the director of football, the new guy.
He was the first name for the one for Sack.
And it's interesting, on that transfer stuff, is that he obviously wanted the Ward-Prowses and the Maguires and the guys that have been there before. Mm. I can't think of his name now, Steindl or something, is... Tim's the director of football at West Ham.
Yeah, he's coming. He wants all the data, I think it was
Leverkusen coach. And he wants all the young European kids. And I think with a couple of signings they've made, I think maybe they're both satisfied.
I think the business has been good, Rob.
Yeah.
That Life's money came in early and everyone was saying, I think they've invested it quite well.
Yeah, I think they're on the brink of signing another player as well.
There's somebody else coming in, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah, it's Kudos.
Yeah, he's done, isn't he?
He scored a hat-trick, the other week.
So. Casey, Rob, gives him a little bit more.
So I think maybe through kudos to the director of football, through Ward-Prowse, who looks a steal, just a brilliant, like, no-brainer, and that's what Moyes wants. He wants those. I don't want it to be a gamble or a tough, you know,
not
whether it's going to work or not.
Yeah.
He wants guaranteed good players.
Great win for them.
Just quickly on Brighton, Rob.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a bad day for them.
Mm.
He can't keep... I mean, there's so many good players that's left Brighton, even this window.
Yeah,
so many.
But up to this point, I mean, Webster had a really bad day, which we don't normally see. You know, the front line wasn't as crutching as we've normally seen.
And Ciso is injured, had a problem.
Yeah, Ciso out,
Pedro started on the bench,
which I like him more than
Ferguson
Welbeck. Started, didn't he?
Ferguson started.
Yeah.
I mean, Solly Marsh has been outstanding with Mitoma, but the rest of the team on paper...
Yeah, James Milner at right back.
All right. Yeah. Donk and Webster and Welbeck and Ferguson.
You'd look at that lineup last season, beginning of this season. You could criticise it, Rob, and they'll still get results. And the one thing they won't lose is belief in what they do.
No, they're the same thing, the guy, mate.
Yeah. And so big game next week. Play Newcastle. Newcastle at home. So that's gonna be an interesting one. Both coming off poor defeats.
A quick shout out. There's three more games here. Everton 0, Wolves 1. I mean, we could spend an hour talking about this situation as well. Everton.
At some point we need to, won't we? Let's get to the window and then let's have a little check in on Everton.
I mean, I still believe when everybody's fit, but you can't keep saying that.
No.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin, when he's fit, Jack Harrison's a good window, Dan Juma,
They've got a forward lined up, haven't they?
There's a young player that they've...
They've got one, lined up.
Have they another one lined up?
Close to being done.
So that's a disaster. Fair play, Gary O'Neill.
Found a way to win the Wolves for them.
Next game. Is Burnley 1, Aston Villa 3.
Villa look good.
Yeah,
good football.
You know, they fell apart a little bit at St James's when we were there first
high
line,
didn't they? I think Ming's going off, changed the system, didn't help. Yeah. And got
it was a good day for Newcastle. First home game for them. They were flying for that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to jump straight to my underappreciated performer, Matty Cash. Matty Cash scores two goals from fullback. And there's a lot of talk about West Aston Villa, Rob, and we talk about Moussa Diaby and Ollie Watkins and John McGinn and everybody else at Aston Villa. We don't talk about defenders much.
No.
And Matty Cash is a solid, solid performer at right back. Good physicality, likes to tackle, safe on the ball for the most part. Polish international now as well.
Yeah.
And when you go as a fullback and you get forward away from home and score two goals, fair play.
Yeah.
So, you know, listen. Maybe it was an easy kind of, you jumped on the guy that scored two goals. But I do believe that Matty Cash is a player at Villa that we don't really talk about
too
much.
Good level each week.
Good
level. No problem.
Strong, good signing for the club.
Yeah, absolutely.
We had a great day.
We
had a great day. So, you know, there's a few others in the weekend, but I just thought, you know what, let's give him a mention.
Yeah,
we've got a couple of goals and we'll give him a shout. Last game we quickly talk, Rob, is Brentford 1, Crystal Palace 1.
Yeah.
I guess nothing much definitive about
Brentford
this.
Brentford were good in the first half. Palace much better in the second. Mark Flacken had a decent day for Brentford. Made a couple of great saves and then got beat by and Anderson poked it through his legs late on.
It was a funny goal, wasn't it?
It was a funny goal. Yeah, because
goalie.
Out a couple of worldies and then
he came out a bit soft and
they poke it home. But good result on the road for Palace. Roy continues to do his job and... It's going to be important for Palace holding on to players, Rob.
Cool.
You know, there's talk with Eze, wanted the Elise with Chelsea. Yeah. Eze, the vultures are circling, and I think Steve Parrish and Roy just need to check the Coure was one they were talking about.
Liverpool target, I think.
Yeah, so just making sure they get... I think now it looks like Palace are going to get these guys on big contracts with big clauses in, so anything does happen, at least we're going to cover ourselves. Yeah.
A wonderful, wonderful weekend in the Premier League. Rob, three games in now. I just got a table ahead of me here, and it's super early yet. Man City at the top with 9 points. West Ham second. Yeah. Tottenham Hotspur third on the same point, 7 points. Love and it. Liverpool, love Arsenal. And at the bottom, teams without a victory. Sheffield United, 3 losses, 0 points. Mm. Burnley only played two.
Yeah, Luton only played two.
Just if everybody, tune in Friday if you can.
Oh, yeah.
At Luton, the Kenny, the Kenilworth Road, their first Luton, home game, isn't it? West Ham on Friday night. Ooh, that should be a fun game. Bottom of the league table, Everton. Ooh. 3 games played, 3 losses.
No goals scored.
Goals against, 6. Ooh. Sorry, Everton fans. Could be a long
Sean Dyche needs to you get trust going. Him. Yeah, and Sean Dyche, we trust. Okay. Listen, mate, that's match week 3 in the bag. A bit of a crazy game of a weekend. West Ham, they won with 20% possession. United concede too early, but grab all 3 points. Arsenal drew, felt like a loss. And in the big game at St James's Park, Newcastle were a goal up, a man up, but lost the match. Make sure you look out for our next podcast. That's coming up next Sunday. That's September the 3rd, when we'll certainly look back at Arsenal hosting Manchester United, which is a big game of that weekend. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musto, together with the two Bobbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Safe, stay healthy. It's
and it's good night from him. Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.